Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word, a hard word, but a word of hope, a word that gives us courage for the facing of these days, this Lenten journey. Help us to be challenged. Help us to be comforted. Help us to hear your truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Anthony DeMello was an Indian Jesuit priest, a psychotherapist, a spiritual teacher, writer, and public speaker. And he wrote several books of short stories, very short stories, which I have pulled illustrations from time to time. And he pulled these stories out from many religious traditions because he believed that we can learn from all traditions. And so these books have stories from the Christian tradition, from the Islamic tradition, from the Buddhist tradition, from the Hindu tradition, in helping us to understand what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be spiritual. And I'm going to be referring to several of his stories in this sermon and probably in other sermons as we go through this series. And in his book, The Song of the Bird, he shares the following one, followed by his commentary, which is another story interesting enough. "Excuse me," said an ocean fish. "You are older than I, so can you tell me where I can find this thing called the ocean?" "The ocean?" said the older fish. "The ocean is the thing you are in now." "Oh, this? But this is water. What I'm seeking is the ocean," said the disappointed fish as he swam away to search elsewhere. DeMello says, another story. "He came to the master in Sanyasi robes, and he spoke the Sanyasi language," which is a form of priesthood. "For years I have been seeking God. I've sought him everywhere that he's said to be, on mountain peaks, the vastness of the desert, the silence of the cloister, the dwellings of the poor." "Have you found him?" asked the master. "No, I have not." "Have you?" What could the master say? The evening sun was sending shafts of golden light into the room. Hundreds of twittering sparrows were in a nearby banyan tree. In the distance, you could hear the sound of the highway. A mosquito droned a warning that it was about to strike. And yet the man could sit there and say he had not found God. After a while, he left, disappointed, to search elsewhere. "Stop searching, little fish. There isn't anything to look for. All you have to do is look." Spirituality is something that we all say we want, but we are unsure how to get. We're unsure about what it means to be a spiritual person. And this Lenten series, I'm doing a sermon series entitled Walking the Via Dolorosa, in which I will be talking about spiritual matters by examining some of the key players of the original Passion narrative. Now, the Via Dolorosa is Latin for the way of sorrow, the way of grief, the way of suffering. It's also the name of the streets, the way that Jesus traveled when he carried his cross. And you can follow that somewhat close to that same path in Jerusalem today. It's marked along the way, Via Dolorosa, and thousands of pilgrims walk it every year. But we often think spirituality is about what we believe. That spirituality is what the Bible has to say to us. Now, those things are important. I'm not trying to take away from that. But spirituality is more about seeing God in the world around us and in our own lives. Another way that I've always liked to say it was said once by the singer-songwriter Bonnie Raitt: religion is for people who are scared of going to hell. Spirituality is for people who have already been there. So we come to our gospel passage today. Jesus has been hauled before Pilate. And in Mark's telling of this story, it's stripped down totally from what Matthew, Luke, and John say. Gone is the dialogue between Jesus and Pilate about what is truth. Gone is Pilate's wife sending a message saying, "Have nothing to do with this man. I had an uneasy dream about him." And what we have here is the blatant sense of power and fear. Pilate wants to let him go, but he's afraid to let him go because if he does, he is sure that he will have a riot on his hands. And because of that, he fears for his political, military life. We see this in the stories, in the words that Pilate uses. Pilate, verse 6, "For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the priests had handed him over." And then, Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, handed him over to be crucified. Fear and power. His fear of riots closed his mind to the truth. And in many ways, even though Pilate is often painted as a man who saw the truth, and it kind of almost to make him, and there have been times a long time ago where I kind of felt this way, that Pilate was kind of, well, you know, he was kind of painted into a corner. We try to make Pilate not look so bad, but I've come to realize he's just as bad or worse than the priests and the council. They said, "It is better for one man to die than for a whole nation to perish." Pilate says, in the way he reacts, in the words, the phrases that he used, "It's better for one man to die than for me to lose my military political clout." And we begin to understand how fear closes us in and prevents us from seeing the truth. It closes us from God. It puts blinders on us so that all we can see is what's right in front of us, that which is making us afraid. We don't look around. We don't see the options. We don't see God. We only see what's making us afraid and we react to it. When we see God, though, in the world around us, when we see God in our work, in our lives, we can let go of our fear. Because we realize we're never alone. That God is around us all the time. That God will take care of us. While fear drives us away from God, seeing God in all things pulls God to us and in us. Kamala tells a true story, and I looked it up, it's amazing, of Sudha Chandra, a contemporary Indian classical dancer and actress. Now, in 1981, Sudha was cut off in the prime of her dancing career, quite literally, when her right leg had to be amputated after an automobile accident. After she had been fitted with an artificial leg, she went back to dancing, and before you know it, she was right back at the top again. And when asked how she managed it, she said quite simply, "You don't need feet to dance. You don't need feet to dance." Sudra is not someone Pilate would have understood. He was too caught up with the physical reality that he didn't see what the world around him beyond the physical. He was too caught up in the fear of losing all that he had that he couldn't see other possibilities. Again, fear pulls us back into ourselves, where our own safety and our own reality consume us. Spirituality moves us away into the arms of God. We can overcome fear in our lives and many have done it, by finding God visible and at work in the world about us, when we find God in all things. But how do we get to that point, though? That's the question we all ask ourselves. I want to be that, but how do I get to that point? And really, it's a simple process, but it takes some time and effort on our part. And I think Jesus' response gives us an understanding of it. Notice that when the accusations are flying against Jesus, he did this, he did this, from the people in the crowd, what does Jesus do? He says nothing. He doesn't even defend himself. Which is what astonishes Pilate. Pilate is consumed by fear. He can't understand this guy. He's just standing before him in the midst of all of these accusations. He's not saying a thing. The Isaiah passage, which is not talking about Jesus, but you wonder how it could not be, because it is so exactly what happened with Jesus. He stood dumb before his shoes. Pilate tries to talk and rule his way out of this. And here's Jesus, whose life is in Pilate's hands, and he's saying nothing. In the Gospel of John, Pilate even confronts Jesus' silence by saying, "Don't you know I have the power to have you crucified or have you released?" Jesus says, "You have no power over me. The only power you have is what would have been given to you from above." God is even in the power of Pilate, according to Jesus. God is in all things. We live in a world filled with fear. People play on other people's fear. We hear it in politics. We hear it in our daily lives. We hear it in our and other people's wish for security. The problem is, when we live life with that fear, innocent people get hurt. 2,000 years ago, an innocent man was sent to the cross because of fear. In another Gemara story, he speaks of the power of fear. Pestilence was on its way to Damascus and sped by a chief's caravan in the desert. "Where are you speeding to?" asked this chief. "To Damascus. I mean to take 1,000 lives." And on his way back from Damascus, Pestilence again passed by the caravan, and the chief called out, "It was 50,000 you took, not 1,000. "No," said Pestilence. "I took 1,000. Fear took the rest." Fear hurts innocent people. Fear is a potent force in human lives. As Christians, we would do well to follow the lead of Jesus and spend time in quiet to see God in all things, to see God in us. And only in that way can God be a powerful force that helps us to fight fear in our lives and in the environment around us. I think the way we do it, and I said earlier, it was simple, but it takes time, is to take a moment each day, toward the end of the day, or maybe at the beginning of the day, thinking of the day before, but think, where did I see God today? Where did I see God? And if we really work at it, we'll always see God in somebody. Maybe it will be in someone's smile. Maybe it'll be in a beautiful snow scene. Yes, we can still see God in snow. Someplace, if we look and ask, "Where did I see God?" we can find God. And maybe what you might want to even do is write it in a little notebook. Date, and "I saw God today," or "I saw God yesterday," in, or at, or on. Call it your Visions of God notebook, whatever. There's a way to start taking your focus away from yourself and looking at the world around you and say, "God is here someplace. If I look, I'll find God." Well, perhaps another way you might do that same kind of thing is, where was I afraid today? Write down the fear. Claim that fear, but also realize you got beyond that fear. Life continued. And when we begin to look at that, we say, my fear doesn't need to hold me. I will get past it with God's help. I will get past my fear and write those fears down in another book. And maybe even a response of how you got by that fear. But it begins to help us to understand that fear doesn't have to be the controlling force that it is, or it often is in our lives, that paralyzes us. We don't want to follow the example of Pilate. We want to follow the example of Jesus in his quiet strength in the face of fear. And when we do that, I think we will find ourselves in an ocean of God's love.